I miss the old Kanye, straight from the gold Kanye, chop up the soul Kanye, set on his goals Kanye. I hate the new Kanye, the bad mood Kanye, the always rude Kanye, spazzing the news Kanye. I miss the sweet Kanye, chop up the beats Kanye. I gotta say, at that time I'd like to meet Kanye. See, I invented Kanye, it wasn't any Kanye, and now I look and look around and there's so many Kanye.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of the Fourth Official Podcast. As we start off with the mashup with Kanye West and Roundball Rock, because apparently that's a thing now. I'm Austin David here. Kyle Foley's back in the studio for one of his last few appearances before he moves.
Yeah, I'll be here about, what, three more times?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Brad Newton's back.
So are we doing the full Kobe farewell tour with you?
We really should. I just won't be handing out signed basketball shoes because I can't afford them as is.
But it does mean...
You have other people bring you shoes and then you just sign them.
But it does mean you're going to leave midway through the third quarter in a blowout loss.
Yeah, he's only sticking around for half the show, don't I?
You understand that means every one of these episodes is a blowout loss, which you're basically insulting yourself. You are calling yourself the Lakers.
Well, no. We're like the Timberwolves.
Hold on. Question. Serious question. Is Gavin D'Angelo Russell?
No, he's a Nick Young if I ever saw one.
No, I feel like Brent's Nick Young, and that explains why he's
never
not here.
Touching Azalea. That is a
No,
disrespect.
Brent is the D'Angelo Russell trying to blow up his spot.
Oh, and now he's trying to hide. He doesn't want to have to face.
Right. We've frozen him out.
He doesn't want to have to face Swaggy G Gavin. Not sure if that
really... Uncle Swaggy G.
You know, does that mean we're getting rid of Kyle now or Austin now?
You know how You know how there's like the
they're gonna trade him this summer.
The Uncle Drew. There's now Uncle Gav.
Uncle Gav.
So yeah, Uncle Gav, aka Gavin Eubank, he's here, and Brent Pekus. He's
frozen him out.
I'm alive.
No, Brent, you're not alive. You're not here. Again, for the third week in a row. So
fire Brent.
Yep.
Didn't we?
I think the hurricane called him.
The hurricane got him.
Yeah.
Super Tuesday breakdown with Kyle Foley.
Because I just had to play that.
No politics.
No politics, you say?
No, just because I say something doesn't mean you have to go look it up.
I have it queued up, damn it.
You didn't have it queued up. We had to have an awkward pause.
Whatever.
Let's get into soccer.
Yeah, let's get into soccer. We've been putzing around too much. Orlando City. They're playing well. Who'da thunk, right?
Well, I didn't notice anything different about their game Sunday, so I don't know why.
What do you mean?
You didn't notice they scored goals, a lot of them?
They scored their most goals this season.
I mean, their lineup didn't look... Oh, wait, yeah, no, they had their captain back. That's what happened.
Oh, he was trying to be funny. I see what he did.
Yeah, fucking...
So yeah, Kaká came back and made an immediate impact. A goal and two assists, possibly three assists if you count giving the ball to Kevin Molino so he could score his first ever goal, which I do.
That was amazing.
The best gesture he's made.
That was seriously...
That's right up there when Orlando won 4-0, he scored a penalty and held up Molino's jersey.
Yeah, no, that was incredibly classy.
And then afterwards, after he scored that penalty, Kaká held up Molino like the Lion King. He stood on the capo stand and held Molino up to the crowd.
Oh, that happened?
Yeah.
Damn, I missed that.
Took me a minute. I'm sitting here like, wait, I don't remember seeing that.
It never happened.
One thing I do want to point out, though, that Molino penalty take was not much better than Addy's penalty take.
But well, Addy got saved.
But
so
it went in.
Times better.
Addy was on the ground and not a lot of pace. At least Molino put a bit of power into it.
At least Molino's went
but that's,
in.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just markably better.
Oh, it just shows that Joe Bendik is substantially better.
That too.
Yeah, right. shout out to Joe Bendik.
That was his second career penalty kick save in 13 tries, too. Yeah. So, I mean, what are the odds?
Because he's in Orlando.
The Pharaoh, Joe Bendik.
But, I mean, going back to the beginning of the season, when they first got Joe Bendik to Orlando, everyone was like, he's Joe Bendik. He played for Toronto.
Yep.
He's not going to be any good.
I'm going to take that L on that one, too.
I was a skeptic. I'm pretty sure I was on this show.
Yeah, and it was a fair assessment because he let in a lot of goals in Toronto.
Yeah.
Didn't really prove himself, but Stuart Kerr, the goalkeeper coach, he said, this is the guy you want. When he first came to Orlando, he said, go after Joe Bendik if you want a goalkeeper. trust in him. If you have a good defense around him, he'll be good. And so far, that's exactly what has happened. He let in one goal against the Timbers, which I don't really put on him. I put it more on Aurelien Collin. He looked completely lost out there.
Yeah, did I miss something? Why did Tommy come off and why did Collin go in?
Tommy Redding had to come off in the at the end of halftime because he got too many knocks to the head and felt dizzy.
Yeah, concussion.
Okay,
yeah,
pretty much. Okay. That's
understandable. So just precautionary taking him off. And after the game, Adrian Heath said, if I didn't have to take off Tommy Redding, I wouldn't have.
Yeah. No, I full disclosure, I didn't actually get to catch the game live. I had some work stuff I was doing, so I just kind of caught up with it. So when I saw that he got subbed off and I didn't hear anything about him getting injured, I thought that was a little weird. But no, it's good that not good that he had head injuries, but good that they kind of took some precautions there.
Yeah, and let's talk really quick about the first goal. You had another Seb Hines header.
That was a good goal.
Off of a Kaká assist, just like that Bahia preseason game. Kind of worked out well. And then you had that Brekše strike. Hold on, let's cue up the play by play here.
He was trying to put on the move on Powell. Kaká, the return for Shea is onside. He fires it in. What a finish! What a goal from Brekše! Just drawing everybody in. Yeah, just double. All right, make something out of it. Nice little give and go. Upper 90 in the back of the net.
So yeah, it was a good goal. Maybe not the best.
I've watched that replay at least 100 times, and it still amazes me every time. Just the way he hit that ball, to curl it with his left foot around the keeper like he did.
That was vintage Brekše.
One touch. Yeah, exactly.
Like the one that actually scored goals for FC Dallas.
How many times have we seen him take that same shot from that same spot, trying to go across the net like that, and he every single time he sails it off wide, and he finally puts it on target, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, 1 out of 100 shots will go in.
Yeah.
Easily a contender for MLS Goal of the Year.
Yeah.
And he's going to lose to Kaká in the first round of MLS Goal of the Week.
Yep.
We're going to get into that a little bit later.
That's why Goal of the Week is rigged. Because
really
didn't Kyle Larin win it at some point when he had a terrible goal?
Yeah, and against Quincy Americois and his, 45-yard...
The wonder goal, yeah.
We'll get into that in a little bit. But Brekše finally getting his first goal since 2012. He hasn't had a club goal since 2012.
We've moved him to defender, so that's not...
Yeah, but he didn't score with Stoke City, he didn't score with Burnley, and he didn't score with other clubs he was loaned out to while he was in England.
He scored one goal in preseason last year in Charleston, and that was it.
That was a header.
That's still a goal.
That's still, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Breck?
Yeah.
No, he kicked him.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Oh, well.
Wow. Never
well,
mind.
Either way,
Brett was wrong.
They both counted.
It was raining,
goals.
And the game got called early. It's whatever. Anyways, talked about Joe Bendik and the penalty save. Brekše handball. I don't know. Did you guys see the handball?
I mean, his arm's out. It's hard
unintentional.
It's definitely not intentional.
It's not intentional, but it's hard for a ref to be in that position and not award a penalty.
It was not the worst call.
Yeah, it's just the circumstances surrounding it. There's no Portland player around. He's just trying to head it down, and Shea's arm was up because he was kind of running a certain way. Lie.
You don't. Yeah, it's. You. It might be unintentional, but the end result was still. Hey, you had your arm extended out there, and the ball very clearly came in contact with it.
Right.
So you're not going to be in a position to argue against it, really.
Yeah, and then at the end of the day, Joe Bendik made a good save. Against a bad penalty.
I mean, ultimately, can we say that was probably the better result of that?
Yeah.
Because it kind of solidified Bendik in the eyes of a lot of Orlando City fans?
Yeah. It gave him his, one shining moment.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds weird that I'm arguing for a penalty to go against Orlando City, but that was probably the best outcome?
I think the fans just needed a reason to forget about Tally Hall. Who will also
don't
get into
him. Don't say his name.
We'll get into him a bit later.
If you say it two more times, he'll appear.
Oh, he's a nice guy. You know.
Yeah, I know, but Orlando City fans don't want to forget him.
Okay. Third goal, Kaká gets his first of the season. Nice little build-up play. Christian Aguita starts it, who was an absolute workhorse in midfield once again. Kevin Molino kind of tried to slot it back to Vinter. Vinter fell down. Nat Borchers kind of tapped it perfectly for Kaká, who was running from the left side.
Did you see my amazing Nat Borchers meme I made with the crying Jordan face?
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, it was me, Kyle Foley. I would
suggest
I'm
down
like
the
positive Eye Online firm came up with that. They're the ones who posted it.
You know, the one that you posted, his ears a little screwed up, the feathering's a little off. I probably would have gone back and fixed it.
That's fair.
So yeah, Nat Borchers kind of gave Kaká an assist there, gave him the third goal. Fourth goal, Kevin Molino draws a penalty. Kaká gives the ball right to Kevin Molino, says, "We trust you, go get your goal." And he got it, kind of got the monkey off his back, and then Kaká jumped on his back to celebrate. So he's finally got a goal, at least. And then Jack McInerney scored one. I blame fully on Aurelien Collin, because I can. And yeah, it was a good game. You know, and the domination of former MLS Cup champions continues. So you had the 4-1 victory this past Sunday. Last year, they won against the LA Galaxy 4-0. And then the 2013 champion Sporting Kansas City lost at home to Orlando 3-1. Let's also take into account here that all the last three MLS Cup champions are from the West.
Yeah, but that's also because the West is markedly better than the East right now.
Yeah.
To be fair, Sporting Kansas City was in the
East.
They
were in the... That's right.
Right.
That's right. Right. But now they're in the West because they were so good that they're like, yeah, we don't need to be in the East.
I mean, the West has Seattle, Portland, Kansas City, Galaxy.
Well, about that Seattle team.
They should
currently
be
in dead last.
Right. They're definitely underperforming right now, but, you know, that's... You know, that can,
I
that
mean,
can
if
change.
If you look at the Supporters Shield standings right now, there's Dallas, Kansas City, Orlando's at third, and the next Eastern Conference team doesn't show up till ninth.
Also, Orlando hasn't lost a game.
Right, but they're only one of two teams that haven't so far.
Yeah, and the other team is Real Salt Lake, the opening day opponent for Orlando.
Right.
So, how about that?
Go figure.
But yeah, Orlando's next opponent, currently third in the East, the Philadelphia Union. That's weird to say because they were pretty much dead last the majority of last season.
They were the worst team in the league last year.
Right. Again, only four games in, so you take that as you will.
Sample sizes and all.
Right. It's really not. I mean, this time last year, Orlando was like top teams in the East, and then they went on a losing streak, then a winning streak, and then another losing streak. And, you know, things can change very easily in the next 29 games.
The month of April was not very kind to Orlando City. They only scored two goals all month. And it was against Portland, so...
Yay.
Great.
Got that big win, though. Columbus Crew, dead last.
But they will be going to New York at some point, which Kyle Aaron will probably score another four goals.
He only scored one against NYCFC, though.
You know,
it was all, but it was all...
To be fair, he only played like 50 minutes, so he didn't get that full opportunity to do what he can.
It's true. Also, they were defending a lot.
That would have meant, though, that he's on pace for what? He would have been six? Goals he would have been on pace for.
Something like that.
Yeah. He was on pace for 34 originally.
Yeah.
And then he didn't score, so.
All right. It's fair. But yeah, Philadelphia Union, CJ Sapong is doing very well for them. Former Orlando City striker, if you can count it, his what, four or five games that he played with them? I think that's what it was, right? He had like a one goal as a penalty. Right?
So yeah, I mean, it's not great, but...
I mean, do you still count... He played four games and scored a goal for Orlando City in 2013. Do you still count him as a former Orlando City player?
Well, yeah, he played for Orlando City.
Yeah, former Lion, come on.
Yeah.
I don't consider him a staple of any of those teams, but he played for Orlando City.
It's true.
He didn't have a Dom Dwyer... impact, but
yeah, he actually got loaned down after Dom Dwyer got recalled.
I mean, Philadelphia's a good team. They're gonna be, they haven't played incredibly well, but I mean, it's early. They're Philadelphia, they still have time to,
that's the key word there, they're Philly,
decrease.
They're Philly.
I mean, you got two goals each out of Sapong and Pania so far. Sebastian Letou is gonna cause you problems like he did last year. You know, Pontius came over from DC United and he's having a big impact so far. He's definitely made that team better. You know, Jim Curtin's doing a good job with what he has there.
Yeah.
Andre Blake is a highly underrated keeper in goal. Is he a homegrown? There's something about him. I know.
Yes.
That,
yeah. He's homegrown.
Yeah. He so he's a very underrated goalkeeper out there. I mean, as much as everyone likes to make fun of Philadelphia for how many goalkeepers they have, he's done an outstanding job.
He's not a homegrown, by the way. He's a generation Adidas. Generation Adidas. Their first pick. He's actually Jamaican.
That's right. He was a draft pick.
Fun fact about Philadelphia, Sebastian Letou has not been capped by France at any level. And in 2008, he declared himself available for the United States. They did not opt to use him.
Mm. Bummer.
That is a fun fact.
Brad's fun facts.
It's not as fun as
I was hoping for. But
we were going to make that a segment last week. Yeah. We'll have to try again next.
That's this week's Brad's fun fact.
There we go.
Brad's fun facts presented by
Sebastian Letou.
All right, so
I think that the problem with playing, not the problem, but I think the thing that's going to actually work in Orlando's favor is typically we when we play good teams we play really well. When we play bad teams we don't play well.
Play down to the competition.
Right. Philadelphia is doing well this season.
Which means Orlando will dominate.
Which means we'll probably play well. Now, the flip side of that is the players may realize it's Philly. They're not really that good. But, I mean...
Well, they did lose at Chicago the other day, and I watched that game, and that game was terrible. But to be fair...
Weather.
They were playing in a blizzard.
They were. Indeed.
That game was... every 10 minutes, they would be playing in nice, cool March weather, April weather, and then next thing you know, they're playing in... A snowstorm. It was just terrible.
Chicago sounds like a really shitty city.
Let's just mention this here. The last time that Orlando went to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was a mess.
They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yellow cards, including a second yellow to Christian Higuita.
Damn.
So.
And that was.
Can we get 10?
Can we get 10 this time?
Can every field player get a yellow card?
Joe Bendick got a yellow card last week. I don't see any reason he can't get one this week.
Okay, all so 11. 11 yellow cards.
Who wrecked that game?
Why are we stopping at 10?
Yeah.
It goes to 11.
That'll be interesting to see. It's not the same ref, so...
You get a yellow card. You get a yellow card. It's the soccer Oprah.
All right, let's move on from MLS really quick here. Talk about the Champions League, because those games just finished. Barcelona... down early to Atletico Madrid, thanks to the troll himself, Fernando Torres. Scored a goal, and then a bit later, he got a second yellow and got sent off. So, you know, that's almost a typical Fernando Torres performance. He does something really good and then does something really bad to kind of offset it. But in the end, Barcelona won 2-1 at home, came back at Luis Suarez, scored both goals. So now they're going back to Atletico Madrid for the second leg, and Barcelona's got two home goals, but Atletico's got that away goal, so that could come into play later. And then Bayern Munich, Arturo Vidal scored in 105 seconds against Benfica, and that was pretty much the end of it. Bayern won 1-0, and that's pretty much all I have to say about that one.
Wait, Bayern beat some smaller European club. Oh,
the Portuguese club.
Right, but to say that they're as big as Bayern, it's...
Right. Well, Benfica is supposedly a Portuguese powerhouse. Rafael Ramos and Estrela came from there, so, you know.
Someone else did, too, but we're not going to talk about them.
All right, next ones that are coming up.
We all blame immensely.
Wolfsburg and Real Madrid.
Undefeated so far.
Wolfsburg and Real Madrid are going to be coming up next. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow being Wednesday.
PSG and Man City.
Yep, we're going to pick that game later as well. But I mean, who at this point, who do you feel is the favorite to win the Champions League out of the 8 teams that are still out there?
Ooh.
I mean, as weird as it sounds, I mean, PSG kind of. I mean.
Because you still have Barcelona, Real Madrid.
No, absolutely. But
and Bayern.
I don't see any reason why PSG can't beat any of those teams.
You're right, they can. But right now the favorite is still Barcelona. They've been the favorite, and they're going to stay the favorite.
Where's the game this year, the final?
That's a good question. To the Googles. While they're Googling, I will occupy the airwaves with my
Milan.
Voice. Ooh. The final is...
At the San Siro, yeah.
Are there any Italian teams left in the tournament?
No.
Haha, I knew that. I just wanted you to say no because I wanted to laugh.
Juventus was the last, I believe.
And they got destroyed in the second half by Bayern Munich.
They had absolutely no reason to give up that game.
They were up 2-0 and then they gave up 4 goals.
That was a complete collapse.
There's an interview from Frank Ribery up on ESPN FC that went up today, and he was kind of saying that he's like, we went in at halftime and I was just like, hey, we can do this. And we scored 4 goals against them, and I didn't even believe it.
Yeah, would you? Would any of us?
Yeah, no, I am a Bayern fan. I follow them. I watch their games. I was watching that game. I almost turned it off at halftime because I said, well, fuck it, it's over. And then it wasn't. So
it's probably not the best way of thinking things. That's probably what people thought at the Real Salt Lake game for Orlando. They were down 2-0 going into the 90th minute, and they're like, yeah, it's over, and they left.
Okay, hold on, because it's different if you were at a game versus watching.
Well,
game,
no, people also turned off the game when
yeah,
they were watching.
Well, that's stupid, but I mean, if you're watching it on TV, you can watch replays later, and it's not really a big difference. If you're at a game and you leave early because you're losing,
you're an idiot.
You suck, and there's a special place in hell for you. It's right next to all the Chelsea fans.
Whoa. Hold on a second there.
Chelsea fans shouting racial epithets at people on trains.
Yeah, those guys just can go fuck off.
But they are Chelsea fans.
Just like a lot of Orlando City fans shout,
hey,
things.
Yeah.
Let's not start more of that because my Facebook feed was all that today and it's obnoxious. You get that one mom that complains on the Orlando City Facebook page and says, like, hey, my kids come to these games and don't want to hear you calling people this, which I think is a fairly
you
legitimate
have
complaint.
You have on Facebook?
Anyway, it's a fairly legitimate
you got the
it's perfect. It's a fairly legitimate complaint that they make, but unfortunately all the supporters will go off and say pretty disgusting things to these mothers. There's sometimes it's guys too, but it's they get pretty nasty, and I'm kind of like, look, just people complain, tell them we're sorry, we're not going to stop doing it. It's just what we do. If you have a problem, don't come. But there's a way to respectfully say that. The way they do it is they go a little nuts, and that's why I don't associate with those groups anymore, among other reasons.
Let's move on from
Let's go
there.
Back to soccer.
Yeah.
Like actual soccer. On the field.
All right, let's talk about the English Premier League, because we haven't really talked about that enough.
Leicester is 7 points clear with 6 games left. They're going to win the league.
Possible.
The only team that can catch them is Tottenham. Which,
I mean, they're playing Man United this week.
It's possible.
So.
Wait, being 7 points clear, that's only 2.5 games.
Right, but there's only 6 games left. They would have to lose.
Yeah, so it's
Tottenham won.
So it's not mathematically impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's incredibly unlikely.
So let's take a look at who Leicester City
Kyle
are going to be playing.
Doomed Leicester, and it's all his fault. Send all letters.
Good, because in episode 2 of this podcast, I predicted Spurs would win the league. Did I not? Isn't that what I predicted?
No, you predicted Man City to win the league in the first episode, and then you
said
Leicester City would be a close second.
Oh, so if Leicester City somehow finishes second.
So the guy who's been talking this whole time about picking Leicester didn't even pick them to win.
He
picked Manchester City, Manchester United.
The first episode, he picked Manchester City. Second episode or third episode, he went and switched to Leicester.
So a guy had a stance on a topic at one point, changed it, and then went back to it because it was convenient for him.
No, I stuck with my Leicester one for months.
Why does
that
sound familiar?
Weird. Hashtag Trump
no politics.
2016.
No politics. No, I knew it. I knew in the beginning I'd said Leicester would win the league, and I said it half jokingly. But I think
so. Let's look at Leicester's final games.
Yep.
They play Sunderland.
Yep.
Which is an easy win.
Yep.
Play West Ham, which will be that'll be tough.
Arguably.
They'll play Swansea, which is
always never, it's never a given.
True. Play Man United. That'll be a good one. So the last 3 games, Man United, Everton, final game against Chelsea.
I'm rooting for the Meteor.
The best of those 3 teams is Everton right now.
I mean, the thing is, they could have that title locked up before those 3 games, so it wouldn't even matter at this point. If they can get their points out of the next 2 or 3 before they get to Manchester.
If Tottenham or Arsenal drop points at this,
Well, they really have to just win the next two games.
No, yeah,
you can't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't hope for your opponents to lose. You have to go out there and win those games,
which they have been.
Yeah,
which is a good thing. You know, they control their own destiny. As long as they keep winning, they're going to win.
Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez.
What a story that guy's been.
Incredible.
He was playing in the fourth division, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Now here he is.
He was playing like amateur
best player in the
Sunday
world right
league.
Now. Best scorer in the world right now?
Yeah, and he scored for his country the other day against Germany.
Nice goal, too.
My prediction is that England is going to win the Euros this summer, and it's going to be because of Jamie Vardy.
It's possible.
You think
both him
England's
and Harry
going to win? This summer?
I think there's a chance. They went undefeated all through qualifying. Not,
there aren't enough Jamie Vardys in the world to make
England
win the Euros.
I'm an England fan and I don't believe in England.
Look, it could happen. Well, you're just a damn traitor for liking another country.
I'm a dual citizen.
Well, you're still a traitor. Somehow. I'll come up with logic later.
And that's the kind of crap
that's Abby
Wambach doesn't want on our national team. So you can get out of here with
Abby
that.
Abby Wambach does not think you should represent our country, and I agree.
That's not the kind of stuff Abby Wambach got a DUI for.
She got a DUI so only Americans could play for the American national team.
To be fair, born and raised in America, just have a passport for England.
That's why...
It's different than what Abby Wambach was saying.
I guess that's true. So she did get a DUI for you. And your people.
She got that DUI for you. That flag. Because those colors don't run higher than a 0.4 blood alcohol level.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's go talk about some MLS stuff now.
Well, no, we got to talk about the.
No, we're going to get to that later. We're going to put it off because. Jeez. Currently, as we said before, Orlando City tops the East. FC Dallas tops the West. Sporting Kansas City's second. The big like talking points. Seattle Sounders are dead last in the West. Columbus dead last in the East. Again, four games in, doesn't really matter too much. As far as the rest of the games coming up this week are, Montreal plays Columbus, which is
that'll be a good matchup.
That will be. New England, Toronto, DC, Vancouver, Red Bulls, Kansas City, FC Dallas, San Jose, Real Salt Lake, Colorado, Houston, Seattle, NYCFC against Chicago, and LA Galaxy in Portland, and Sporting Kansas City against Colorado.
I would just like to say Abby Wambach allegedly got a DUI because she pleaded not guilty. So.
Oh. Interesting.
Well, she admitted to it, but...
Yeah, she apologized, but then pleaded
not guilty.
Not guilty
at some point.
Right.
But then it's just like, yeah, I did it, but I didn't really do it.
Technically, I was there, but my mind was elsewhere, so
yeah,
I wasn't
you
really
were drunk.
Me. Yeah.
Allegedly.
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 I was not as think as you drunk I said, so it's okay.
All right.
Sir, are you high? No, officer, it's high. How are you?
I mean, you messed that up. It's how high are you? No, officer. It's hi. How are you?
All right. Let's go back to some Orlando City news on the national scale. There was that whole mascot mania bracket, trying to see who the best mascot in MLS was. Somehow, the terrifying creature that haunts children's nightmares,
Gavin?
AKA Kingston.
I actually left in the first round of voting, so thank you very much.
Kingston made it to the finals against the San Jose Earthquakes mascot Q.
So
Q won.
I have a theory about that. So Kingston made a deal with the devil.
He is the devil.
No. Hear me out. Kingston made a deal with the devil to progress through the mascot bracket, but the devil coming from underground would come from an earthquake. That's why he only lost to the Quakes mascot.
that logic is
the
like,
problem is I can't argue against that.
Jeez.
I mean, I'm sure at this point people have seen Daredevil, or not Daredevil, Deadpool, and if you haven't, too bad, but when he's talking about, you know, you look like an avocado had sex with an uglier avocado. That's essentially...
There's a few other ones fucking in there, too, but...
It was like hate fucking.
Yeah, there's other stuff, too, but I was going to just kind of leave it at that. But
point
yeah.
is, Kingston lost, and everyone's better for it.
Yes, the less we have to see that image on the internet.
It was like subsequently around midnight, I felt my soul return back to my body just in time for me to give it back to the Yankees for opening day today. It was amazing.
And then they ended up losing.
Yeah.
So
that's what I get. I get misery. I'm about to get another 161 games.
Yeah, but A-Rod stole a base, though, so that's, you know.
You know, he's going for 40 for 40 at 40, so it's going to be a good year for the
guy. He also did a bunch of steroids throughout his career.
Hey. How do you think he stole that base today, man?
People are saying that Julio Bautista is on roids.
Dude, have you MLS seen that guy?
Yes. And it would make perfect sense.
He has to be on something.
Yeah. So here's the question. Does MLS actually test for roids?
No.
No.
I don't think the players' union has bargained that.
I don't think
everyone could be doing it and no one gives a shit.
I think MLS wants their players to be on everything because the better athletes they can get playing soccer right now in the US, the better it is for MLS as a league. I'm only half joking about that. That's why for the longest time other sports didn't, like baseball, put off all the steroid stuff for so long because it was the greatest period of offense in baseball and everybody loved it.
Now, hold on. I'm with you on that, Kyle. Do you think they're getting these older names who aren't playing international football or soccer as much because they're not testing in internationally they would be? Because if you're able to skirt around that by not having to worry about playing for your national team, but say some of these older players who aren't anymore.
I want to make it very clear. I'm not speculating that I actually think these players are doing it. I'm just saying it is a possibility, and I think that could very well be potentially true. It could be part of the reason some of those players potentially are coming here is because there is very lax testing. I mean, it is possible. I don't think it's happening, but it is possible, and it would not entirely shock me. But, I mean, I've seen that guy's legs. The dude's got to be on something.
I mean, his everything is just, like, ripped.
Yeah.
They call him the Beast, but, like, even when he was known as the Beast, he wasn't as, like, ripped as he is
like,
now.
Like, people jokingly say, like, oh, man, his legs look like tree trunks. Like, no, this guy literally has tree trunks infused into his legs.
Someone mentioned there was a picture of his, like, him about to hit the ball, and someone, like, commented, like, his knee looks like a dog. And if you look at the picture, it looks like, what's the dog that has, like, the droopy face?
So in MLS, there've only been three players. There've only been three players to ever been suspended for substance abuse or taking a banned substance.
Who?
John Conway and Jeff Park of the New York Red Bulls in 2008. Well, both players claiming they took dietary supplements. And then in 2011, Columbus Crew's Josh Williams was suspended for 10 days for violating the league's substance abuse policy.
Yeah. So this is obviously something they don't take that seriously.
Yeah. Seems like with like more comprehensive testing that maybe they would look into that.
Austin has the picture pulled up. Look at his knee.
Look at his knee. Does it not look like a dog?
I mean, the dog from Sandlot that like jumps over the fence.
Yes,
Hercules. Yeah,
that's what his legs are.
That's what his legs are, and that scared a group of like tweens. So. There are legends made of Batista's like thigh.
He goes walking around to scare little children. He just kind of flashes his knee and they run.
That's why
he can't wear shorts ever.
Not in
forever.
Public.
Forever.
Oh man.
But right. I mean, going back to the problem, MLS doesn't have these policies. But has there ever been a big problem in the soccer world of this, of where they have to have this?
No,
I mean,
not,
exactly.
Not,
it's mostly not, been like. Financial
because you
stuff.
See it in sports where like you know your physical attributes really play a role like in football and hockey and basketball and baseball you know but
I mean,
you don't really
in the 80s
it doesn't affect soccer that much
I mean
I
in the
think.
80s Serie A but really that was it as far as like how people have been like testing for banned substances in soccer mm-hmm.
it just doesn't make as much of a difference in soccer as it does because soccer requires a lot more finesse and technical skill than like football for example not to knock on football. But football is more about be as big and as strong as you can be and tear the other guy's head off.
Yeah, baseball too, because he's like, I mean...
Yeah, baseball is the biggest one because all you got to do is hit the ball really hard.
Yeah.
So let me just point this out just to kind of give something to this conversation. Bautista did have an injury where he had to rehab in the gym for a number of months.
So he pulled a Peyton Manning and took some steroids to come back quicker.
Possible.
Yeah, but if a doctor prescribes them to you, that's a little different. Because like you can have surgery, and then you would get steroids prescribed to you. Like
no. I know. I'm
right.
I don't, again, even if he was on something, I don't care. But that's kind of my philosophy on most athletes with steroids. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Especially not when it's an injury.
But I'm just saying, Bautista could have gone into the gym and spent every day in the gym lifting weights.
Well, and he was not with anyone. He was trying to find a new team. So you want to win, especially when you're older and you're not as fast. So you need to be stronger. You need to be more physical because that's how you're going to win.
Look at how many like guys just retire and then just turn into like beanbag chairs. Because I mean, no, I'm serious. Like if you're an athlete and you're used to consuming so many calories a day, suddenly you're not, and you're still you're not used to that level of activity, and now your body's not really able to support like the muscle mass it had. So then it just atrophies and then becomes fat and other stuff. So
just an amorphous blob,
right? And so I think in order to prevent that from happening, yeah, I mean, why not go to the gym? And what else are you going to do with your time? You're obscenely rich and you have a lot of time on your hands.
Yep. Eric Kinski got pretty big. I think he's a first base coach for like the Braves or something now, but he played baseball for a while, and if you look at him, he's a big guy now.
Oh yeah.
I mean, baseball also has a lot of fat leets, so
you don't have to be in shape to play baseball. Pablo Sandoval. Tola Colon is one of the best pitchers in the league, and that guy's like 600 pounds.
Yeah, but
he's a fat slob, and he's lovely.
David Wells is always my favorite example of that, because that guy just like looked like he just chugs, had a calzone in the dugout.
He's one of those guys that could just chug a pitcher of beer and then go out the mound through 8 shutout innings. Like, it's no problem.
Like it was the 70s.
Yeah.
Like guys
or the
just 2009 have cigars or something.
Red Sox, where they just ate beer and chicken in the clubhouse every day.
But didn't they win?
No.
No. Anyways, let's move on from that conversation. Let's talk some quick little facts here. People are complaining about red cards in the MLS this year. So far, 16 red cards issued through 42 games. That's an average of 0.38 red cards per game, which is the fifth highest in MLS history. The highest was back in 1998 when they gave out 23 cards in 43 games, which is about half a card per game, if that makes any sense.
That sounds pretty high.
Right. So if you have a 0.38 count this year, fifth highest in the league, and then the league website says, hey, this isn't out of the ordinary. Like they said, red cards are not out of place in MLS history.
Because, of course.
Right. So this time last year, there were 14 red cards through 42 games, which is a 0.33 average per game. Back in 2013, there was only 3 cards per game, 3 cards in 42 games, and 5 cards in 2012. So the increase has been
5 red cards throughout the entire 2012 season?
No, 5 red cards through this point into the season. Through 44 games, there were only 5 red cards in 2012, and then that jumped up to 14 or to 11 in 2014, 14 in 2015, and now 16 in 2016. So it's steadily growing, which isn't a good thing. But then the league website had to go and say, yeah, this is just normal. What do you think about it?
I mean, it's sort of, I don't want to say apologizing for whoever's, it's that sort of like who's watching the watchman kind of thing, where you're kind of like, oh, these are our refs, but
who's reffing the refs?
Who's, exactly. So it's like, do you rein in pro and try to say like, hey, what are you guys doing?
I mean, the problem is MLS has always been a physical league, and everybody knows that. And when they're going out there and just making these normal plays that we're used to seeing, you're immediately getting red carded for it. And a lot of these plays are just stupid plays that shouldn't even deserve a yellow card. And the referees are pulling for their back pocket the first chance they get.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, pros decided that they need to be more strict, or as soon as you see the studs, give the red card no matter what the challenge is. And it's just terrible. They are losing control of games everywhere. If you look at the red card against, who was it, Felipe the other day in New York, or in New England?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. That's hardly even a yellow.
Yeah.
But he got straight red for it, and New York goes on to lose the game.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, let's talk about some other kind of neat information here. MLS is going to be streaming the first ever game on its 20-year anniversary tomorrow at 8 o'clock, which is the exact same time that it started 20 years ago on April 6th.
And it was just to watch that and see. Yeah. It's going to be pretty cool.
So it's the, who was it? The trying to see who actually played. It was DC United
DC
against
in the Clash.
The San Jose yeah. Clash.
They celebrated that game on Saturday. Like they did a whole taking it back to 1996 night. Those two teams played in San Jose.
That is kind of neat. And again, it's going to be like up to the second like streaming. So
they even plan on doing the original pregame show from ESPN that night, though.
That is neat. So you get to see kind of how it's going to be, how things have changed in the last 20 years.
Can see how absolutely horrible it was then and see how it's probably not much better now. The play might be, but...
Oh, yeah, no. And the players.
Yeah. Probably well, I don't know. It's DC and San Jose.
True. All right. Let's talk goal of the week.
Well, DC won the league that year, so...
Oh, yeah. Their last time they won it was 2004, which is over a decade ago.
Right. What I'm saying is DC now and San Jose now are not that great.
Right.
So they were probably better then. Anyway.
Let's talk about the goal of the week voting, as well as save of the week voting. Last year, they did just a poll where you click on a name and hit vote. This year, they do it in a bracket. So they pit players against each other to see who wins. And obviously, whoever's the most popular player is going to win. Case in point, the Brekše versus Kaká goal of the week voting that's happening right now. Brekše's goal was far and away better than Kaká's, but Kaká's still winning because it's Kaká.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of Brazilian people that sit at home in Brazil, and they just look up his name anywhere they can find it, and they just click all over that website, and they just happen to find this, and so they all went nuts. That probably sounds really horrible, and it's probably really wrong, but it's also not because they do. They look. I mean, it's the Kaká fans that follow him in every single thing he does.
Yep. I personally like Brekše's goal better myself, but looking at the Kaká goal, where it's pretty much a team goal from top to bottom. I mean, it's Kevin Molino feeding Adrian Winter in the box, and then gets played back to Kaká, who darts across from the left side to the middle.
It's a good goal, and
it's a good run of play that leads up to the goal. It's not technically, you know, from a scoring standpoint, very impressive.
The whole play was pretty neat, but by no means is it even close to the Brekše goal.
The way Brekše takes it high corner on the far post, like from
you can't save that
from a flick that came that Brek feeds Kaká like a through pass. Kaká then just flicks it back to Brek, and then Brek far post.
He hit it on the bounce too.
Yeah, he hit first touch on the bounce, and that's just that was an incredible goal. And yeah, I mean,
So current voting: Kaká 62%, Brekše 37%. And that's what's wrong with AT&T MLS Goal of the Week voting. It's rigged.
Because whoever sponsored by AT&T, did you expect any fluency there?
Yeah, good point. All right. Last thing about MLS stuff, Tally Hall. That's the second mention of his name. He's now at DC United, signed just on April 1st, which is a weird day to actually announce a signing. It's like, did you actually sign him or not?
Was the dollar figure in quotation marks?
I'm actually kind of curious how much money they signed him for. Because he was commanding a hefty salary with Orlando.
Which is part of the reason why they got rid of him.
Right.
I would imagine not much because he's going to lose his spot as soon as Bill Lamy comes back.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have a spot to begin with now. He's not starting.
Dykstra is hurt.
Yeah, Andrew Dykstra's hurt. But they got their third string goalkeeper starting over Tally Hall.
Doesn't necessarily be starting.
True.
With Tally Hall.
Yeah, Tally may be starting this next coming game. We'll see.
It says Hall will join United in San Jose for their match against the Quakes. So I guess
he was on the bench for the last game. Yeah. Okay. So maybe after a week or two of training.
That was this past Saturday.
Yeah. So maybe after a week or two of training, he'll get into the lineup.
I mean, typically it doesn't take as long to get a keeper integrated into a new team as it does a field player.
I believe he had already been there training with them for like a week or two already.
He trialed with them.
He had a two-week training stint with them before they signed him.
Watch he comes back and wins MLS Goalie of the Year. It's going to happen.
Don't.
We can all blame Carneiro and just burn down Portugal.
Hold up signs outside the Orlando City office.
We can organize a protest. Fire Carneiro. We want more transparency from the team.
All right. Let's move on. Keeping this moving right along here. Let's go talk about some weird news from this past week.
Yes.
Kyle, I know we'll start with you because you got an interesting one.
This is a fun one. So I got to look up where it is. Give me a second. This is in LA.
Fantastic.
Man escapes death after crawling from car dangling on cliff edge, only to be hit by a passing bus.
Jesus. So it's like, yes, I survived this almost near-death experience and then automatically just gets hit by a bus.
Oh, but he survived getting hit by the bus.
Right.
He didn't die getting hit by the bus, which at first I thought he died from like getting hit by the bus. But no. So he survived death twice in one day.
So it's almost like, would you rather fall off a cliff and die or get hit by a bus and live? I mean, obviously you want to live, but those are some interesting circumstances.
Unless this guy was just really trying to do something and it just wasn't working today.
Everything went wrong for him.
Yeah.
And yet also everything went right for him.
Yeah. So he is alive, thankfully. The Los Angeles Sheriff's Department said this is another reminder of the need to drive safely through the canyons of our beautiful area and to use extreme caution at the scene of a traffic collision.
So is he blaming the guy for walking out on the street or the bus?
Kind of sounds like he's blaming the guy twice. Drive carefully and look both ways before you cross the road after getting out of your vehicle from an accident.
So it's like, yes, I had to crawl out of my vehicle before it fell off a cliff, and I'm going to start looking both ways but as I run from the dangling car.
But excellent. Yet
it's his fault.
It is.
Fair enough. Brad, what do you got?
Woman sues over accidental cremation.
What?
A Wisconsin woman is suing a Rochester funeral home in the Mayo Clinic after her husband's body was accidentally cremated. Apparently, the woman's husband passed away and hit his head while walking upstairs in her home. His body was taken to the morgue of the Mayo Clinic and moved from one spot to another without being documented. When a funeral home arrived to pick up another body, they took his body instead, and he was cremated. Apparently, the woman lost it, and the husband specifically said he never wanted to be cremated.
Oh, geez.
So now the family is seeking $75,000 in damages from both the defendants, the Mayo Clinic, and the funeral home, plus attorney's fees and further relief deemed just improper by the court.
Wow. That sucks.
Yeah, you know, not being able to properly memorialize your loved ones would.
I don't want to be burned, and then he gets burned.
No, yeah, he specifically said he called it burning, not cremating. So
that family
seems like he was pretty much in the no column for that.
The whole family got burned on that one.
Wow!
God damn it!
Wow!
Yeah,
I know. Please leave,
Gavin. What do you got? Make everyone forget about what I just said.
I got a guy in Brazil who had his hand amputated into his stomach.
What?
What?
So this guy was operating a machine at a factory. His hand got stuck and it severed two of his fingers. So they brought him to the emergency room where they started doing surgery, I guess. And I'm just reading this for the first time, so I don't really know what happened. The headline grabbed me, so...
grabbed you with only three fingers.
Yeah. It grabbed me with its one free hand. Long story short, his hand's in his stomach now. I don't know what happened there.
He lost two fingers and all of a sudden his hand's in his stomach. That makes perfect sense.
Was it the same hand where he lost the fingers, or was it just the other hand?
Yeah, oh, one hand man. Now got a fingers and the other one hand has
so
his
intestines. So you'd have like three fingers and then a hand in his stomach.
I got a video of Vin Scully explaining what a goat is. If you guys want to listen to that, I don't know if that's weird.
No.
I want to listen to it, but I can't do it
later.
Right now. Yeah. You know.
All right. Mine's really quick. This isn't really weird. It's just kind of funny. Taylor Swift is going to be the first ever Taylor Swift award winner.
That's just amazing.
That's how you know you've made it.
You get an award named after yourself, and then you're the first one to receive it.
Yeah. Just wait until the Uncle Gav award comes out. It's going to be epic, and I'm gonna give it to myself.
I don't think anybody would ever want to win the Uncle Gav award.
Uncle Gav would win a win.
I just show up at your front door when they'd be like, "Congratulations, you're the first winner of the Uncle Gav award." It's just a picture of it's a little mustache.
it's Gavin's mugshot,
yeah. And the keys to a very rickety white van.
with no windows.
Yes. Or that's how like I move into the neighborhood and be like, congratulations, you've just won the award. You're living next to a pedophile. I'll see you guys later.
No, the award is that you get to live with the person.
The award is that you're now living next door to a sexual offender.
Not even living next door. You have to house Uncle Gav. He has to live with you.
Gavin, you are aware you are openly calling yourself a sexual offender.
No.
Like
I'm commenting on what everybody else says.
Okay. All right, let's move on here.
It's the persona.
Let's do this very quickly. What's your beef? We'll start on the opposite side of the room. Gavin, you have beef on fake beef.
All right, dude. So I go to Taco Bell. And is everybody here, they've had like, has anyone here been to Taco Bell and you get those, whatever they're called, the Baja Blast slushies?
Yes.
So
yes.
I go and I order the Baja Blast slushie. And I get to the window and she's like, all right, well, would you like any other flavors with that? Like, no, I ordered one regular flavor. So she hands me the cup, and it's only half full. Because apparently their machine stopped working halfway through pouring my drink. So I'm like, all right, no, I don't want any flavors. So she hands me the cup that's half full. And it's like, all right, that'll be $3, expecting me to pay full price for this cup. And I'm like, well, I'm not paying full price for that. And she didn't know what to do. She was just like baffled. That she tried to give me less than half of a product and that I was going to pay full price for it. So she got like her manager over there and the guy was like, well, what's going on? I was like, first of all, this girl gave me half a drink and wants me to pay $3 for it. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And then I just left because of those morons. Like, why would you do that? Why would you expect somebody to pay full price for that?
So did you get the cup?
No, I left.
Oh.
I drove off. I wasn't paying anything for that.
So I'm just imagining like them just standing there trying to like figure out what exactly is going on, and then you just walk out. Like you don't even give them like an opportunity to like say like, how about, and then it's just, where'd you go?
They turn around after 45 minutes of arguing and he's gone.
Just smoke bomb and then he's gone.
We had a guy in Publix. Somebody, he went to put his eggs on the counter. And as he was doing that, it opened up and one egg fell on the ground. And he just stood there quietly and looked at the girl and then backed up and left. As the egg is sitting there on the ground.
What?
I mean, didn't say anything. Put his stuff back in the cart and just walked away.
Didn't want to get salmonella.
I mean, that's a good way to deal with things. Just not deal with them.
Yeah.
Just leave like we nothing ever
worst,
happened.
We have the worst fast food workers in Palm Coast. I'll tell you what. Everybody there.
Sounds like you should move.
Yeah. Double beef.
Moving to Orlando soon.
Brad, what do you got for your beef?
All right. So, this past Sunday was WrestleMania. My beef is with the finish to the triple threat match between Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte for the Women's Championship.
What are you talking about?
Ric Flair.
What is this?
This is exactly what we say when you talk about politics.
So
no, it's not, because you pay attention to that.
So Charlotte
slightly.
Is in the middle of pinning Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks is on the outside. Ric Flair then pulls and holds back Charlotte Banks in a perfect allegory for how women's wrestling is treated in WWE. Thank you. That's my beef.
Okay. All right, then.
I don't even know what to think about that.
Yeah, let's ask Kyle what his beef was.
My beef is with people that watch wrestling like WWE, because my Twitter feed, which is typically mostly politics and soccer, the last few days has had lots of basketball, which is okay, and wrestling. And it just all seems like gibberish. And they're naming these people that I should know and these things that they think I should know. And I think it's dumb, with the exception of Brad, because I think Brad's a great person. But that's not really what my beef is. My beef is with Dale Earnhardt Jr., who tweeted out today a picture of a sandwich with mayonnaise
and a banana.
He put some what thick mayonnaise hell? On that thing on both sides of that bread.
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
Here's the thing. I don't necessarily think a mayo and banana sandwich is bad, but you have to have bread. You cannot have it on white bread. That's my beef. He had it on white bread. It should be on wheat bread. And, yeah, mayo and banana is actually not that bad, but you should not have that much mayo, and it should not be on white bread.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna make mine quick here. My beef is with the Orlando City post game. After the game against the Portland Timbers and after the press conference with Adrian Heath, all the media members go into the locker room and interview players and everything. When we got into the locker room, it was me and Gavin and a bunch of other media people. There was a bunch of Brazilian media.
There was a Brazilian of them.
It sure felt like it. A Brazilian of Brazilians. They were interviewing Flavio Augusto da Silva, the majority owner of Orlando City, in the locker room while all the players were getting changed behind them. Like, they had towels coming out of the shower and, like, trying to dry off and, like, hide themselves from the camera while getting changed. Meanwhile, they're just, shooting the shit right in front of them. Just kind of like, whatever. There was about half a dozen cameras there filming.
You know they just wanted to catch a glimpse of naked Kaká.
I mean, I don't know.
Do you know how well that would play? How many people would watch that in Brazil?
Oh, my God. But the worst part of it was they were playing music, like Brazilian bachata music in the background while interviewing everybody. And so when we were trying to interview Kaká, the music was blaring. Everyone was talking like behind us, so we couldn't hear a word he was saying. And it was just a kind of a shitty situation. It eventually calmed down. The media kind of left. They ended up standing around and taking selfies with the players, though, which is kind of not a thing to do.
If only there was someone who could have put a stop to that.
It is what it is. All right. Before we get to our annual picks for the week, we have to go ahead and talk about our annual Estrella update. So let's go ahead and do that really quick. All right, let's go to our picks now. Got a few good games this week, including some Champions League, other Champions League, Europa League, EPL, and MLS.
Champions League.
It's the AFC Champion League.
They think they're people.
So let's go with the PSG Man City game for the...
Are we going for the game, or for those ones are we going for both legs?
Let's just go for the game.
Okay, well, I mean, still, I think PSG is going to win.
Fair. Gavin?
You know what, man? I think I'll be pulling for City on this one. They're going to win.
God, he's God. Back at it again. He's back at it again. Brad?
PSG.
And I'll go PSG as well. Next, we're going to have Bin Dong.
Ben Dwang.
Oh, Ben. Yeah, Ben Dwang.
Is it Ben Yong?
No, it's Ben Dwang.
Ben Yong.
Ben Dwang.
I thought it was Ben Dong.
Telling you it's Ben Dwang, you can look it up again.
Well.
No, it was Yan. Was it? Okay, so Ben Dwang, yes.
Hold on. Right.
Ben Dwang.
There you go. Google Translate, Ben Dwang. They're going to be playing against John Buck Motors in the AFC Champions League.
That's quite the name matchup.
So is that like how AYSO teams go by like their sponsor name? Is that what that is?
Possibly, yeah.
All right, Gavin, who are you picking?
I'm going to go with John Buck.
Okay.
John Buck from the grave.
Yeah.
Kyle?
We go with Ben Dwang. But I'm not
going to
be...
John Buck's going to Ben Dwang over.
Oh, my God.
And take this one.
Don't have to be a dick about it.
Brad?
I'm going to take Ben Dwang.
Good choice. I'll go...
Phrasing!
Damn it. I'm going to go... I'm going to go Ben Dwang as well.
You're going to go Ben Dwang. I don't want to know what you're going to do after this.
I hate you all. I said it, but I still hate you.
Brent's mom has now heard that what you're going to go do after this episode.
Please. All right. Borussia Dortmund versus Liverpool for the Europa League.
Dortmund.
Gavin.
Dortmund.
Brad.
I picked Klopp last week, and that didn't do so well for me. So either way, I'm kind of screwed with this. But Dortmund.
And I'll go Dortmund as well.
We're not being too interesting with these picks. We're all
well, except Austin's gonna go Ben Dwang after this. So
well, also Gavin's picked Man City and John Buck, and he's the only one who's different. So if that works out for him, then you know, well, good for him. The big matchup: Philly against Orlando in Philly. Kyle,
Orlando City.
Fair. Gavin,
Orlando City.
Brad.
Orlando doesn't really play too well against Philadelphia.
Don't do it.
You could say draw.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to say draw. I was going to say 1-1 draw.
I think it's going to be very sunny in Philadelphia this Friday for Orlando.
And
Charlie.
And they're going to take
the Charlie, we got to beat Kaká.
The gang goes to PPL Park.
Is it called PPL Park anymore?
No, it's like Talon Energy Park or something.
Talon, yeah, stupid. EPL, Aston Villa against Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
I wasn't born yesterday, so I will take Bournemouth on this one.
That was just bad. I mean, like, like normally when puns are bad, they're good, but that was just bad, bad.
This is how it was last week. Brad. I mean, Aston Villa is one of the worst teams in the league right now. I think the worst.
I don't even really have to think about it, Bournemouth.
They should just get relegated straight to, like, the third division. They shouldn't even attempt to play in the Champions.
They should just send him to Portugal.
But then what's going to happen to Mr. Clean, Brad Guzan?
That's true.
He'll
come to MLS.
Yeah, he'll come to MLS.
He'll find his way home.
Someone will pay him $4 million to play for them.
NYCFC?
Yeah, probably.
All right, last game we're going to pick today, LA versus Portland.
LA.
All right.
Robbie Keane is going to have a hat trick.
Robbie Keane is out for the next, like, 3 months.
Yep. That's how he's going to have a hat trick. He's going to play it on FIFA.
Gavin, who do you got?
LA against Portland. I'm going to go with LA.
I think that's in LA, by the way. Yeah. So, good choice. Brad?
Yes.
You picked LA?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Just making sure. I'll go LA as well. And just to mention here, for last week, Gavin won, had 3 right and 2 wrong. Both Brad and I went 2-3, and Brent, who sent in his picks, went 3-3. He was the only one to pick a Portland over Orlando. So
that explains why he's not here this week.
He didn't want to face the music. He
took that L.
He took that L. All right.
Took that Bendwang.
All right, that's gonna do it for us here for the fourth official podcast. We are gonna be back here next week, hopefully. We do have a new sponsor this week.
We do,
which is pretty exciting. So first off, for myself, Austin David, for Kyle Foley, for Brad Newton, and for
Uncle Gav,
Gavin Eubank, our new sponsor, Archer Bot. He's not coming back from that. That chick was like the Pele of anal. Perfect way to end it. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week.
Uncle Gavin, don't trust you. I'm going to shoot you.